What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you on another edition of Phillies Today. As we are now into the month of December, the baseball offseason moving along as it typically does. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving last week, of course. Obviously not the best stuff going on with the football team right now as they've dropped a couple straight in a row. Eagles are having some of their struggles. But as always, I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about baseball. And we are less than a week away from the winter meetings, which is very exciting. Starting on December 8th, they're going through December 10th. And it feels like one of those off seasons where we might have some real buzz going on at the winter meetings and some signings might happen. And, in off seasons past, especially in recent memory, it feels like a lot of the, buzz around the major free agents hasn't really materialized into guys signing during the winter meetings. And it felt like for years there, it was sort of where all the sort of big trades and big free agent signings went down during the winter meetings. But it feels like we might be getting back to that this year, just based off of what a lot of the big baseball writers are reporting, like John Heyman. It seems like Kyle Schwarber and Kyle Tucker are two names that are probably going to sign during the winter meetings here. And I know I played it a couple of podcasts ago, but Ruben Amaro Jr. also suggested that he thought that Kyle Schwarber was going to sign in between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And we are now in that time and just dying for any real serious Phillies news to come about. Because admittedly, this is probably the most boring time of the entire baseball calendar. And just in terms of you're in the offseason spot in between the World Series and when the real signings and the real trades start to begin. Now, we have had a couple of big signings lately with Dylan Cease, a 7-year, $210 million contract go to the Toronto Blue Jays. And good for the Blue Jays because after just an all-time classic World Series where it looks like they're going to win it all in Game 7 and they're going home, potentially looking to clinch a World Series, they're unable to do so. They get to the Game 7 and they just fall short. To go out there and to get a big pitcher like Dylan Cease is obviously something that you have to give the front office and ownership credit for in terms of investing in the team. Now, are they finally going to be the team that gets Dylan Cease to throw strikes on a consistent basis? I don't know. And obviously, we know how much talent Dylan Cease has just from a stuff perspective. But it'll be interesting to see if the Blue Jays are the team that really gets him to where his potential was with the White Sox early on and where he was with the Padres at one point, too. So that was an interesting signing. Also, Devin Williams going to the Mets, I thought was a very interesting signing, and I'll get into that a little later in the podcast as well. But mostly just going to talk about sort of the outlook of what we should expect heading into this offseason and moving forward. Because as much as I've tried to wrap my head around the potential of the Phillies signing some of these free agents, like going after a Kyle Tucker, going after a Bo Bichette, going after some of these type of guys that can sort of restructure the team a little bit. And if you let a Kyle Schwarber go, or if you let a JT Realmuto go, you're able to supplement their loss with different free agents that could potentially make the ball club better. But the more and more this offseason goes on, the more I just think that, and to the dismay of many fans, I think that they're probably just going to end up running this back. And it's something where I think that as fans, everyone is pretty much going to be upset with whatever happens this offseason. Like, even if they say replaced Kyle Schwarber with Kyle Tucker, and I think that would probably be a smart decision. I've talked about on the podcast, though, I think a 5 or 6 year deal for Kyle Schwarber is probably too much for a 33-year-old DH who never plays the field. And as good of a leader and as good of a player as Kyle Schwarber is, that's a risky, risky thing when you're handing that over to a guy who is 33 years old, coming off the best season of his career. Again, doesn't provide any defensive value for you whatsoever. So I think that fans are just looking for any sort of change, and I don't know if they're going to get it, because it feels like, just based off of what's being reported, Kyle Schwarber is probably going to be back. Like, the rumors out there for Schwarber are like that the Giants are checking in and the Mets are checking in and the Reds are checking in. Like, congrats on those teams for doing their job. They're checking in on a big time free agent who just hit 55 plus home runs in a season. And sure, any team could use that sort of power from the left-handed side. And I'm sure that, those teams have looked into his agent, Casey Close, and potentially are looking to bring Kyle Schwarber in. Like, I don't doubt that. But I also think that this is something that is just a classic off-season rumor mill type of story, to where obviously teams are going to be looking at him, but I don't think any team is prepared to give what the Phillies are going to give for Kyle Schwarber. And I think that John Middleton ultimately wants to keep one of the best leaders and one of the most liked guys in the city of Philadelphia on the Phillies. And at the end of the day, it's probably just John Middleton's decision. I understand that Dave Dombrowski, you know, can try to persuade him that maybe the money is better utilized this way or that way, but I don't know if you're going to get John Middleton to sign off on not bringing back Kyle Schwarber just because of what he means to the fan base and what he means to, you know, the clubhouse as well. So I'd be really surprised still if Kyle Schwarber wasn't back. I don't think it's the smartest financial investment per se, but at the same time, I do think that they're a better baseball team with him next year than without him, assuming that they didn't get Kyle Tucker or Bregman or somebody like that in his place. And it sort of leads me to the question of, is there a possibility that the Phillies would bring in an additional free agent, like a big-name free agent, a big-money free agent like Bregman, like Kyle Tucker, if they bring back JT and they bring back Kyle Schwarber? And I keep thinking it's no. And we just know about the payroll issues over the course of the last few seasons. They've gotten themselves into a couple of bad deals, which they're going to have to pay Nick Castellanos $20 million to play for somebody else next year. They are stuck with Taiwan Walker's $21 million as well. So, I mean, they have some bad deals on their payroll here. And I just don't know if adding Bregman, who is another aging veteran, who I think is a good fit for this team, but I just don't think is probably the guy you want to give $40 million a year to right now. I don't see the Phillies doing that, especially if they're bringing back JT and if they're bringing back Kyle Schwarber, which, again, all indications point that they are probably coming back. So I think that they're in sort of a bad spot, if I'm going to be honest, this offseason, just considering that they really kind of have to bring those guys back because they don't have any readily available replacements for them. I mean, you could go out in free agency and get another left-handed power bat like Kyle Tucker, as we mentioned, but there aren't really any catchers out there in the free agent market, so you'd have to get creative via trade. And I just don't know if replacing Kyle Schwarber with another aging veteran on a big deal is really worth it either at the end of the day. It feels like Tucker would probably be the guy. And Tucker's also in an interesting spot right now, and I'm curious to see how his free agency develops because he's been a really good hitter throughout his entire career, like an 850 OPS guy pretty consistently, and played really good defense and was a champion with the Astros, of course. But he had such a weird year last year, and a lot of it was due, I think he had that oblique injury that he was dealing with for a lot of the season. But I'm interested to see if his free agency prolongs a little bit. And a lot of them, the reporters are saying that he might sign during the winter meetings, but I wouldn't be shocked if that didn't happen and his free agency sort of is prolonged and maybe a team gets him. It's sort of a steal type of deal. Like maybe it's a team isn't willing to go 10-350 or 10-400 even just because of the year he had last year. And it was a very odd free agency season, like one of the more odd, you know, entering free agency type of years that we've seen a little bit, it seems like. So I am pretty interested to see how Kyle Tucker's market develops, and someone similar to him that I think is interesting to see, you know, where he ends up going and what type of money he ends up getting is Cody Bellinger, because Cody Bellinger's had sort of a roller coaster ride of a career. He wins the MVP early on with the Dodgers. He, you know, obviously goes on to be a World Series champion and then gets non-tendered from the Dodgers after having a couple of pretty brutal years there. He really struggled to hit lefties, almost became a platoon player, and, you know, still always had the positional versatility, which is very important and is part of the reason I think he's probably such a sought-after free agent this offseason. But with Bellinger, I think that he is another guy that could potentially end up going as a steal just because of the sort of up-and-down nature that he's had throughout his career. And, like, last year, he was a really productive player for the Yankees. Like Kyle Tucker, 850 OPS guy, or has the positional versatility. Now, the thing I will say probably gets overrated with Cody Bellinger is, you know, obviously he could play center field, like he's played center field before, but he's definitely a corner outfielder. It's almost similar to the Brandon Marsh situation. Like, he could stand out there in center field, but I don't know if I want Cody Bellinger, especially as he ages and potentially if you give him a big contract, to be my everyday center fielder. So I don't think that's going to happen, but, you know, he can give Bryce Harper some days off his feet if he wants to, you know, be the DH, and Cody Bellinger can play first. He can play one of the corner outfield spots and be a solid, you know, right fielder if Justin Crawford wants to play left, and you probably have to put Brandon Marsh in center. So I think Bellinger gives them a couple opportunities, which would be potentially interesting. especially on the defensive side of the baseball. But I just struggle to think that the Phillies are going to sign another big free agent if they are bringing Kyle Schwarber and JT Realmuto back, which leads me to think that the only way that this roster is going to significantly improve and the only way that sort of fans are going to get really excited about this team is if you make a trade in addition to those signings. And I think that's the route that you have to go just based off of the money. And, I mean, there are a lot of guys out there that certainly make sense. Whether it's Brendan Donovan, we've mentioned Byron Buxton a million times in this podcast this offseason already, Joe Adele, Jaron Duran, a couple of other guys that could potentially fit holes out in the outfield once Nick Castellanos is off the roster. But I just think that's the only route you can go. And even if you're getting off of Alec Boehm's $10 million, and there's another contract that I want to get to here in a second that they could potentially be getting off of, but I just think that's sort of the route that you have to go. And it's you sign those two guys, you bring them back, because you can't really replace JT at the catching position. I think that Schwarber is just ultimately going to be back, whether it's an overpay or not. So making a deal for one of those type of guys, I think, is the only real way with the financial constraints that are, you know, probably going to be put on by John Middleton after he signs those two guys. It's really the only way to sort of improve the roster and make any additional changes to what we saw last year. And look, I know the last thing the fans want to hear is the fact that the team is probably running it back. And I think that's a reasonable thing to be upset about because of what we've seen in the postseason the last couple of years. Even though this year, I've talked about it before, I feel much different about it, especially considering what the Dodgers were able to accomplish and the fact that they were in so many of those games. And man, like, not to get off topic here, but it's an offseason pod, so we'll get a little off topic. But I'm curious to everyone who's listening right now, like, have you gone back and watched the Kirk Ring play? Because, like, I have, and every time, it's almost like you're watching it for the first time, and you almost expect the result to be different than him actually throwing it basically into the stands at Dodger Stadium. Like, you point to first base every time, and you're just like, just throw it to first base. Now, again, I'm not blaming Orion Kirkering for, you know, the series loss or anything like that, but it is, like, jarring to watch it every single time. And it was one of those events that you always remember watching, no matter how old you end up getting. And I have finally begun to just watch the play a little bit and watch some of these postseason highlights too as the offseason goes on, because I was watching a bunch of the World Series highlights the other day, and my God, what a World Series that was. That was just an all-time classic with the Dodgers and the Blue Jays. So at least we got that out of the postseason, despite the Phils not exactly having the result that we wanted out of a 96-win season. So that's the only positive, though, is that they're coming off of two 90-plus win seasons. And obviously, the team, although aging, is still very talented. So I still think they could potentially get carried by the pitching staff next year. We'll see how Zach Wheeler ends up coming back and if he's back for opening day or not. I tend to think that he'll probably be back early in the season, but maybe not for opening day. But again, that's no reporting. That's just sort of a feel thing for me. So, but yeah, that's sort of the outlook going into next season. And while I'm on the trade stuff, I just brought it up, sort of teased it there. But one guy I want to talk about in terms of a trade is Matt Strom, because Matt Strom is being brought up more and more in these rumors that I've been seeing lately in terms of the Phils offseason and what they're going to end up doing with Matt Strom. He's got a year and $7 million, $7.5 million around left on his contract. And I'm sort of conflicted on the Matt Strom front, because the two guys that Dave Dombrowski really sort of buried in his postgame, or three guys, I guess, buried in his postgame or postseason press conference was Nick Castellanos, obviously. Everyone remembers the Bryce Harper comments, but it goes under the radar that he absolutely obliterated Matt Strom after the whole PFP comment and saying that, well, you know, we practice PFPs before the postseason, in reference to the, you know, Kirk Ring play, of course. But Matt Strom did not practice PFPs. So the fact that they would call him out like that sort of leads me to believe that there's some bad blood between maybe the front office and the coaching staff and Matt Strom. So I think those are sort of where those trade rumors have originated. And I sort of hesitate on the notion of trading Matt Strom, because if you trade Matt Strom, yes, you get the $7.5 million off the books, which, you know, you could go and spend that as you please. I don't know how good of a player you're getting with $7 million, but I just think that based off of how the bullpen is built right now, the two lefties you have in there behind Matt Strom are Jose Alvarado, who obviously starts out the year great last year, for a reason. It ends up being out. He tests positive for PEDs. Then he gets suspended. Then he comes back and was just not the same player. And frankly, I don't know if that was the PEDs or just the 80 games that he didn't end up playing. But yeah, he doesn't come back, or he comes back and is not the same pitcher. The year before, he was not great either. And Tanner Banks, who had a career year last year, and I don't know, is somebody who you want to go into a season with as your high leverage lefty in the bullpen. Like, I thought he did a tremendous job and exceeded expectations, no doubt. But to go into the year with those two guys as your lefty relievers and the lefties out of the bullpen for you, I just don't think that that's a real recipe for success, if we're being honest. So unless the Matt Strom thing is a real problem and they just don't think it's a salvageable situation in the clubhouse with Matt Strom and maybe the coaching staff or maybe the players and maybe the front office, whoever it is, unless that's really the case, I just don't think that getting off of Matt Strom is really the right use of resources. And especially considering what a lot of these relievers are getting right now. I mentioned the Devin Williams thing. Like, he got 3 years, $51 million. And look, Devin Williams, similar to, you know, Kyle Tucker almost, phenomenal career before last year. And then has like the down year last year and still ends up cashing out because high leverage relievers are just so, you know, highly, you know, important in baseball. So he gets 3 years, $51 million. And there are plenty of other guys who are going to get really nice deals out there this offseason. So I think that keeping Matt Strom for that number is probably the right decision. And I'm interested to see if they do end up trading him. The reports and the rumors that end up coming out after about Matt Strom, because that would be the main reason why I would think he ends up being traded if he actually ends up, you know, not being on the team next year. So another guy that I think, you know, speaking of bad contracts, is Taijuan Walker. And I think he's going to end up being an important piece of this team next year, because I'm not worried about Andrew Painter, like, not being a good pitcher in baseball. I'm not sure he was the highly touted guy that maybe he was as a prospect over the past couple of years before the Tommy John. But I don't, first of all, I don't know who's taking his contract. So I think he's going to be on the team next year. But in terms of the starting rotation depth, I wouldn't be shocked if they signed maybe a low end starting pitcher to potentially just give it themselves a little depth there. Considering you're not sure if Wheeler's going to be back in time for opening day. Obviously you expect Ranger to not be on the team next year. And I will say, with the Dylan Cease contract, that's massive for Ranger right there. I mean, Ranger's going to get paid, and I would be willing to bet almost anything that he is not going to be on the team next year. So not expecting Ranger to be back, although he is going to cash in, so good for him. But I would potentially expect a low-end starter to maybe sign here, and a name that I sort of like, and somebody who has been mentioned by, you know, some Phillies people, Justin Verlander. Maybe run it with Justin Verlander for one season, see if he's got anything left in the tank. Obviously, once Painter is ready to go and once Wheeler is ready to go, you can sort of move him out of that role and maybe he comes pitches out of the bullpen. I don't know. I think it'd be worth a call. I think it'd be worth a shot to potentially get Andrew Painter back, or not Andrew Painter, to get Justin Verlander here on a one-year deal and you know, see what happens. So I wouldn't be shocked if they went after a potential low-end starter to just bolster the starting depth just a little bit there. So one last thing I wanted to get to, and still on the starting pitching front, sort of, to wrap up the pod before we get out of here, is Tatsuya Ime. I don't know if I'm exactly saying that right. He is the, you know, top starting pitcher out of the Japan that is coming out this year. And he recently said that he'd be willing to play on the East Coast here in, you know, the States, obviously, and in Major League Baseball. And he mentioned that he wants to be a part of the group that takes down Ohtani, which I actually thought was pretty cool. And, you know, it really feels like the Phillies need to tap in or just sort of break the seal on the Japanese market of players. And I don't think that they're going to get Matsuyama. That seems like a guy who's probably going to end up being on the West Coast. He's expressed interest there. And again, I didn't think he was really a great fit for the Phillies either. Not somebody I'd want to give a $200+ million contract to, considering the swing and miss that he had over in Japan. And I think he's a little bit of an incomplete player. Good power. But not the best defender, more swing and miss than definitely the Phillies need, considering their swing and miss issues in the past. So don't expect him to, you know, be on the Phillies radar, but I think the starting pitcher definitely could be. And he's somebody that I think could embrace sort of the city of Philadelphia and how, you know, passionate of a sports city it is, just based off of some of his comments regarding the Dodgers and regarding Ohtani. So We'll be interested to see how his free agency plays out. Hopefully he's not a Met, and definitely could see that being the case, though, or a Yankee or a Red Sox, something of that nature. But those teams have broken in to the Japanese market a little bit, and I think that it's finally time for the Phillies to potentially go after one of these guys, because once you sign one, it feels like maybe the seal gets broken open. So would be nice if the Phillies to sort of pursue that avenue one of these off seasons here. And look, they really tried to sign Yamamoto. I mean, they did offer more than the Dodgers. That was, you know, reported. That was well documented. But they do face some of those geographical challenges as well. So I won't go on and, you know, blame the front office or blame John Middleton for not trying, because they really tried hard with Yamamoto. And you saw in the World Series with him winning MVP, you know, obviously he is a difference maker and somebody who's worth a $300+ million contract. So I give them credit for the fact that they did try, but man, it would just be nice to get one of these guys here and be able to sort of tap into that market for the first time, because there's a ton of talent over there and it feels like it is not going to stop anytime soon, just considering, you know, what an impact Ohtani, I'm sure, has probably had on the country, and obviously guys like Ichiro and guys before them. So I think that it would definitely be something in future off seasons, or, you know, with the starting pitcher this offseason, would definitely be interested in going down that route. So that's going to wrap it up for this edition of Phillies Today. Next week, hopefully we will have some big-time rumors to get to. It feels like this could be the week where maybe we get some Kyle Schwarber news. You know, that would be awesome just to be able to talk about and break down. And even though a 5 or 6 year deal worries me, I would definitely be excited to talk about it. And it'll be one of those things where, you know, I'll get the notification. I'll see they probably paid him more than, you know, I was comfortable with, but it'll be something that I probably end up talking myself into. And yeah, hopefully we can break it all down next week on the podcast, which would be just very fun and something that I hope ends up happening, because I don't love to just sit here and talk for a little while about rumors. We want some real hard hitting baseball stuff. So thank you as always for tuning in. Much appreciated. And for Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstein. Have a good one, everyone. I'll see you.